everyone, and welcome to the Spring Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about finally eliminating screen conflicts in their home. This is Melanie Hempe, and if you are one of our regular listeners, welcome back. And if you are a new friend, we're so glad you found us. You are no longer in the dark and by yourself and all isolated and alone. You have found your people, and I think you might just find some answers that will change your life. Summer is here and school is out, and I have a fabulous guest today. Amy is going to be joining us. She has 5 children, and we are so glad she is here. Amy, just say hey.
Hey, good morning. I'm so glad to be here with everyone today.
So as we get started, I just wanted to bring you in on my little intro because I just want to let everybody know that it is summer. And Amy, a lot of people are really stressed because they have lots of little kids at home. And I remember that feeling of having, with 4. So I remember that everybody was all excited about summer, but then I would have the sinking feeling like, oh no, what am I going to do? I have so many kids. And there's like a lot to be stressed over. And as far as screens go, like there's nothing else to be stressed over but screens. So before we get started, I just wanted to do a little review on some scientific things that we have been unpacking recently in the last few podcasts. And of course, these are scientific things that we have in our courses for our parents, as well as the student course that's going to be released really soon. Everybody's asking, when is the student course coming out? It is in the works right now. We have it in some final production areas with layout, because guys, we have, this course is going to be digital, of course, but it is also going to be available in a print format. So I am really hoping by the 1st of August that we are going to have copies for you. At least our, you know, prototype copies can go out there if you're desperate, as I was. I was so desperate when my kids were younger. If y'all have been keeping up with Screen Strong, my oldest son became very addicted to video games, if you may already know about this. And so we have, and he dropped out of college and he's doing quite well now. In fact, I will just give an update on Adam. He just graduated from law school. We are so proud of him. And it was a fabulous May for us. We had our younger boys graduate from high school and then our oldest son graduated from law school. So for those of y'all who've been so sweet and kind to ask through our social media how he's doing, he is doing very well. And I promise as soon as he finishes his boards.
The bar.
As soon as he finishes the bar exam, he told me he would get back on his show. So I just want to say that I know right where you are. I know exactly this feeling, this overwhelming feeling of having young kids at the house. And what am I going to do if I don't give them a screen? But just let's back up and let me talk just to give you a little review, just a quick review of some of the science around dopamine, because this is super important for us to understand today as I unpack some things with Amy, this mom of 5, who's going to share what she does to be screen strong. So I got an email this past week from a mom with a 14-year-old daughter, and her daughter is lying and stole a phone because her mom took away her smartphone, which, you know, the key is just don't ever give your kids a smartphone. Then you don't ever have to take it away, right? So that's really a good tip. But anyway, so her 14-year-old daughter had the phone taken away. So she went out and got a burner phone. And then she also had a friend at school give her a phone. Like, so every few weeks, this poor mother is chasing all the deceit and the lies that are happening. And we talked a lot about what I'm getting ready to review with you right now, because I feel like it was really important for her. And I think it's really important for you. So our kids are acting this way. This is typical addictive behavior. Just like if you were living with an addict of any sort, whether it's drugs or alcohol, and we hate to think this about our kids, but I'm going to explain quickly why this happens and why this 14-year-old daughter is out there lying so much to her mom and so driven. And think about chemistry. I just want you to think about chemistry. I don't want you to think about that daughter being a terrible daughter, of course, or that your kid is really frustrating when they do these things. We got to think about this in terms of chemistry. So much of the screen issues and screen conflicts in our home come from dopamine. And we have just started to unpack this a lot more at Screen Strong. In fact, our podcast number 151, if you want to re-listen to that with Dr. Stacy, we go through it there. But I want you to start thinking about your child's screen time as a neuroscience issue. It is not a parenting battle, really, so to speak, as it is. It's not like trying to decide curfew or, you know, when they're going to drive or, you know, how many donuts they should have today. This is a neuroscience issue. It's a brain issue that drives this overconsumption. Screens create a surge in dopamine over the normal baseline amount that we all need. This chemical is very important. It keeps us alive, actually. It drives us to do the things that help us survive. But too much dopamine can cause addiction. You've got to think of it like a drug. And I want you to take the emotions out and really think about the screen issue in your house like a chemical issue, chemistry, right? Like it is a drug. Many call dopamine the feel-good chemical, but it is. It sort of is. Really, it is the motivation chemical. So dopamine motivates us to keep doing the things that our brain is craving, even if we really don't like that thing. And this is really important. I want you to hear this because I think out there in our culture, we talk a lot about dopamine as being the feel-good chemical, and it does. It makes us feel good. But even more than that, it motivates us to keep doing the thing that we're drawn to. So at first, when your child is on their screen, and you may be thinking right now, well, my child loves their screen. It's their favorite thing. And I want you to think about this a little bit differently. Your child looks like they love their screens. But as you observe them over time, that screen time really does not make your child happy. It makes them pretty miserable. And it makes everybody in your house miserable because that repeated high burst of dopamine makes them glued, but not necessarily happy. So his brain thinks that it's super important, but it's not really bringing him joy or her joy. So let me just put it to you this way. Do you think that boys really love being cooped up in a dark corner on a video game? I mean, Amy, you've got five boys. Do you think your five boys would love being in a dark room without any people, cooped up on a game, right? So they don't love this. I mean, what do boys normally love?
Their bodies are made to move.
Right. They want to move.
Yes. They need to like run around. That is where they're
constant
happy.
Energy.
Yes.
And that brings them joy, right? So this is my point with this dopamine. You have to understand your kids are not happy on their screens. Now they're drawn to their screens like glue, but your boy does not want to be cooped up in a dark corner away from his family, away from his friends all summer on a video game. Now he thinks he does because his brain is driven to this thing. So we think, okay, why are they driven to this? Well, because the game is set up that way. It's got a lot of novelty. There's a lot of things flashing. There's a lot of death going on. Yeah, I hate to say, but our brain is really interested in death because we don't want to die. And so we're constantly trying to look at things that are gross because we want to try to learn and survive. Do you think that your daughter really wants to be glued to scrolling social media for hours a day this summer? Do you think she wants to compare herself to everyone out there? No. She doesn't. She wants to be in the presence of her friends and she wants to be with you. But instead, the screen is pulling her and she can't help it. So to us, it looks like they love it. To them, they're confused. They think they love it, but they don't. It's making them miserable. There's nothing more miserable than what happens when you pull a kid off a screen. It's miserable for us. It's miserable for them. They're depressed. They're thinking, gosh, I really didn't want to do all that. What do I have to show for it? This is what Adam, my oldest son, always told me after we went through all of our trauma over here. He said, Mom, it's terrible. You have nothing to show for your time. So how again do the screens do that? How do video games do that? How does social media do that? Well, it has a lot of novelty. Like I said, a lot of fear, a lot of excitement for social media. It's a lot of gossip. There's a lot of fear of missing out. These are all things that we're all drawn to, whether we're, you know, I don't know, 14 years old or 44 years old. We're all drawn to these things. So it's a chemistry thing. It's a brain thing. And the screen engineers behind video games and phones have taken advantage of this chemical. And no offense. I mean, you know, I don't have to do the drug, right? I don't have to, I mean, I'm not like we heard of say here before, we're not getting rid of big tobacco. We're just not smoking the cigarettes. So they've taken advantage of this chemical. And after all, that's the only way they can keep us hooked to the screens and monetize their business. So boys love to look at violent games. They're really drawn to this. Does it make them feel good? Probably not. Probably not so much, at least not after hours of it anyway. They're glued to them because their brain is being tricked. They're fighting for their life and it's very compelling and it draws them in, just like your daughter and just like this mom with a 14-year-old that stole the phone and bought the burner phone and whatever. She's glued just like you would be addicted to anything. She wants the dopamine, but it's really not making her feel good. You know, I don't think alcoholics and drug addicts really feel good either, but they are driven to have this high spike of dopamine because their brain has been reset. And so this is what Screen Strong is all about. Screen Strong is all about helping you understand the science so then you can lick this once and for all and get this problem solved in your home. It is very, very solvable when you realize that this chemical is creating this desire in your child. So our job as parents is to find things that our kids can still get dopamine, you know, but have it be good things. In fact, this is how you know when it is a good thing, is when you are doing the thing for a while and you feel better when you get off. That's what we're looking for as parents. We're not looking for the things that make our kids feel worse, like screens. We're looking for the things that make our kids feel better. So that's how you know an activity is healthy. So is it possible to have a screen strong summer? Yes, it is. And Amy is here and we're going to dive in now. I gave you a little science lesson. I hope that that helps because it wasn't until I personally dove into the science many years ago until I could really understand how to parent around this issue. And I hope that we have over here at Screen Strong have just given you some puzzle pieces that you can put together. This is not necessarily one of those parenting issues like all the other parenting issues about when to do certain rites of passages. That's not what screen time is about for kids. And I think sometimes parents can argue with each other. I think that we can like kind of not agree on some things about when you think your kid is mature enough to do certain things. But here I'm here to tell you that that's not what this argument is about. This screen decision and the screen dilemma that we're living in is not about a parenting, you know, choice. Really, it's about what is the science and what is happening to our kids and why is this such an epidemic in our culture. So we have your back. And today we're going to talk about the reality of having young kids at home. We've had a lot of requests for this. And so Amy, here you are. Thank you so much. You are the perfect guest to have for this. So I want you to tell everybody the ages of your kids.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here because I have been in the trenches with all of you for many years with lots of kids. And I'm watching many friends have their kids graduate and things like that. But I am in the thick of it. I've had little ones for a long time. So we just started summer here and I have an 11-year-old who will turn 12 this summer. So we are in the tween stage. I have a 9-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So we are still in toddler land while I'm navigating tween world.
Right. And they're all boys. Which is really interesting.
Yes. A whole basketball team. It still feels crazy when I say that sometimes.
Yeah.
But yes.
Oh my goodness.
All boys.
Well, we have a lot of questions in our Facebook group and on our Connect group. And by the way, guys, if you haven't joined Connect, please go to our website and join Connect. It is free. It is our online forum just for you, so you don't have to be on social media, right? So I've been wanting to do this forever. And finally this year, we finally got it all together. And, you know, we may lose you on Facebook one day. So just FYI, if you don't want to get lost, come over to our website, click on Connect and just sign up and it's free. And there's a forum in there. And a lot of parents are in there asking and answering questions, but we get a lot of questions about what to do when you have this season of life, when your kids don't have jobs yet, they're not driving yet, they're not old, you know, they're at home and they're little. Because it is exhausting. you have to admit, right? I mean, it's exhausting. I mean, we're going to hand it to everybody out there. It's not easy. It is a season.
Long days.
Yeah.
Long days.
There are long days. And you know, even you probably even feel like now you just blink and your oldest is 12 years old. Like, that's crazy. Like, you know, because I know we all feel that way. But then you have the 3-year-old to remind you of the days. So the days are long. So we have a lot of questions on our Facebook as well as in our Connect group about managing what to do in the long days of summer and during this long season of these certain little ages that you have. What do I do with my kids? Because I'm exhausted. I'm the mom. I'm exhausted. Just last night, I'll just have to say that one of our kids made dinner, went to the grocery store, did the whole entire thing. Like, I didn't even have to think. It was just amazing. I mean, I was like, oh my gosh, I waited so long. I mean, they did start doing this some when they were in school, but they were so busy, right? So now they're at home. They're kind of, they have a job. They all have jobs. But, you know, they have a day off. They're like, hey, mom, I can make dinner. And I'm like, okay, good. That means thinking of what you're going to have, going to the grocery. And they did the whole thing. And it was just so wonderful. But it made me realize how exhausted I usually am, you know, trying to. And you've got five.
And meanwhile, I have a child throwing food on the floor during our dinner.
Right. Yeah, so like, you're like doing the magic show, trying to make it all come out at the end. And so, is it really possible to have five boys the ages from 3 to almost 12 and go the whole summer and not depend on screens to help? I mean, don't you deserve it?
Well, yes.
Yeah, you do deserve it.
It is possible. What I'm in right now that I would encourage moms and dads and whoever's listening to think about is it's really good to know that it takes some time to settle into new rhythms. And mm-hmm. I am in that right now because my older kids just finished school. Yesterday was their first day of summer. And so it is an adjustment. You know, we have been going running hard. We had all the end of school events. We had things every moment. We were on the cusp of summer. So we had some swim team. So I think it's one thing I was thinking about yesterday and I was reminding myself, it's good to realize it is an adjustment period for everybody. You know, having those expectations, I think it was good just to take a breather. They have to adjust to not having a schedule. And so it's good to have some space and to let that be okay and know that it's not going to just, you know, magically fill in this wonderful summer and everyone's in this summer mode. And, you know, it takes an adjustment period. And I think that is an important thing to think about to get the new rhythms. It doesn't just happen. It kind of, you know, they have to navigate. Wait a second. I was scheduled every moment of my weekdays.
And now
all of a sudden they weren't. And so yesterday I had the conversations. I'm living it of kind of, what do we do? What's happening? You know, they came home from swim practice, which they have. And then I was living it. I had my five kids and they're all home and they were trying to figure out what to do with themselves.
Yeah.
And it was okay to live in that. You know, I didn't go to solve anything right away.
Right.
It was trying to get us all just to
calibrate.
Yeah,
that's a really good point that you have to expect the adjustment, be okay with the adjustment, not freak out over the adjustment. And this is true of anything in life. I think we live in such an instant world and we want to have an app to fix everything. And it's like, no, sometimes we just have to be. And that's really an important point. I'm so glad you brought that up because what happens is our kids now have a different job. It is summer. It is not school. Even if they're 3, there was a different routine and there was a different rhythm when you were doing the school year. Now everybody has a different role almost. It's like a different job. And so it takes this calibration on your part, on their part. And then after a week or so, it all kind of starts to mesh together and it starts to make sense. But don't expect your kids to jump right out of school, off that school bus, and all of a sudden know how to manage your downtime. They're not going to know how to do it. And I would say one tip here is maybe just, that's a great tip, is just say no to all screens for the first 2 weeks of summer. Like, so so that doesn't become the next thing, the next lily pad they jump on, you know, from the school bus to now 5 hours of some kind of screen time a day. Because that could easily fill it in.
Yes. I heard yesterday multiple times, and again, this was between swim practice and their first day of summer, I heard different children of mine, I'm bored. What do I do? Yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of okay with that, the first day
of summer. And yeah,
I said, go figure it out.
Right. Right.
And I just, you know, they did. They went to go see if some different friends were home. They rode their bikes. They
talk about that a minute. I love that. I love that you didn't try to solve it. If you start solving things on the first day of summer, then ooh, it's going to be hard. You're going to be just dying for them to get back to school. So the quicker, mom and dad, if you're listening, the quicker that you can learn this one little tip, the better your summer is going to be. There's going to be a little pain. There's going to be a little unrest. There's going to be a little awkward, little conflict. So just putting you on the spot, what did your kids do yesterday?
So they asked if they could ride to multiple neighbors' homes mm-hmm. to see if they could get anybody to join in.
Yeah.
They started grabbing wood scraps and they built a fort out in the back of the yard later in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
just like the HGTV fort makeovers, you know, they can build one and then build another one and then tear down and then do another one and all through the summer. Yeah,
exactly. My husband was working on some projects and even my little ones were kind of emulating him,
right,
following him around, using their own tools. They started digging in a spot in the yard.
Yeah. Digging is good. Lots of digging is good.
Yes.
Digging holes.
So yeah, they figured it out and I didn't make a great plan and I didn't feel the pressure to have to do that because I do know it is important to kind of get those
expectations.
Let them be okay with, okay, let's take a deep breath and you can figure out what to do. And it does, it takes some figuring out, like you said. And I think one thing I've told some other friends is that I like schedules, but I have learned with kids that the idea of rhythms and blocks of time is really good. And so I think as you move from just being okay with my kids saying, I'm bored the very first day they had summer and saying that, I do think something then to move into, and sometimes it's good for all of you to think about, okay, maybe for a week we just let it ride.
Yeah.
We don't have screens. We don't over plan. But then it's helpful, I think, to not think in this very structured every hour, let's make a schedule to help everybody.
Right.
But I really
think
it, when you have multiple children or you have someone in your family that likes schedules and someone that doesn't, I think the idea of rhythms or blocks really helps. It kind of is a compromise.
Yeah.
When you have a lot of people. And so I think as you move into that, it's thinking of, okay, like for us, we have swim team in the morning right now. So mm-hmm. maybe other families mm-hmm. have something similar.
Yeah.
But if not, it's this idea of, you know, what do you want your morning rhythm to look like? And slowly you can figure that out and have those expectations then laid out for your kids. And it also gives them guidelines, but it's not these strict parameters.
That's right. And it gives them the bandwidth to figure out how to solve this problem themselves. That's your goal, by the way. You want to work yourself out of this job. You want them to start figuring it out. They've got to feel the struggle. It's really important that even my older boys now, or the younger boys, whatever they're called, they're old now because they graduated from high school, but they even had to feel that rub a little bit and that struggle. Okay, the shift, we're shifting. I'm not in school. I'm in summer. I've got to go get a job, you know, and that first week was awkward, you know, even for them, but they have to feel that feeling. They cannot have mommy there all the time solving everything for them. And I think it is true that you have to have a plan, not to have a plan. You plan not to plan that first little bit. And then they start getting their own plan because they're becoming innovative because they have to. It's out of necessity. And if you have them scheduled every minute, you know, that's not necessarily good. I will say, of course, as the summer rocks along, that schedules are good. I do have a funny story and I'll try to post it, you know, in our Connect group. But Evan, when he was in third grade, the first day of summer, he made a list of his daily activities that he was going to do. And it was so funny. And he really craved knowing ahead of time, like, you know, what he was going to do as far as riding his bike and who was coming over and the sandlot and all that. And he kind of had that all planned out. He even had time in there to read his comic book and he had Sports Illustrated for Kids. And, you know, he had all that. And I thought that was really good. So the first tip is just to realize you have an adjustment to make, and to everybody take a deep breath and not to throw screens at your kids. Remember from what we just talked about a minute ago, if this podcast can be the podcast where you learned that you have to start thinking of screens as not something your kids love. It's something that causes them, you know, pain. Because it does. They don't really like it. Think of a boy hunched over a video game. You know, he'd much rather be outside. Think of a girl hunched over a phone. She'd much rather be hanging out with her friends, painting her nails. You know, that we've got to realize that our kids don't know what's good for them. And it's hard for them to understand. Like for you, if you had said yesterday, okay, everybody, if you don't know what to do, we'll come in and we're going to watch a movie for 2 hours. They'd all been excited. Like, you know, it's all great. But then afterwards, they would feel bad. You just don't feel good after, especially in the middle of the day when you're sitting on the sofa. And we always had a rule when my kids were little in the summers all the way through that if the sun was out, we never had the screen on. That was just our rule. And in the evenings, we would watch a family movie sometime. We did put, a sheet outside and a projector, and we would do movies outside sometime. And that was really fun. But I just kind of, you know, even if it was raining, in the summer, you can play outside in the rain. It's perfect to play outside in the rain because it's warm. And I have so many funny pictures of them playing outside in the rain when they were little. So I always said if the sun was out, there was no screens on. But talk a minute about the three-year-old, that age group in four. Like that's a little different maybe from, you know, the eight-year-old.
Yes.
So what do you do with a three-year-old when you're just exhausted? You need to go make dinner. First of all, you should probably have very simple dinners in the summer, right?
Yes.
That's one thing. But what do you do with those little ages?
And that's it helps to block because they are long days with toddlers. I mean, with all kids somewhat, yeah. Especially in summer, but
when they're not as independent.
Right. And you know, when they're, you know, kind of year round, right. It's not like he's in school. So
right.
I think it does help to still, like I said, maybe for your whole family, it's this idea of kind of these time blocks where in the morning you know, you're doing breakfast. The older kids have some chores and the little ones kind of can join in and act like they're cleaning up some as well and help with little things. And then it is very helpful. One thing for me, and I know this isn't everyone, but it always helps me to get out of the house with that age kids.
Yes.
So I think it's nice. And this, I think, is something to think about is on your schedule. That's not this tight schedule, but rhythms. It's like maybe the morning is when if you're home and you don't have anything planned, you have time where it's like, they know to expect breakfast. I get ready. I help pick up the house or help with the dishes and get something squared away. And then there's a chunk of time where that might be field trip time or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And that is the time. And the field trip could be going to a museum.
Yeah.
It could be going to a park. It could just be taking a bike ride and pushing your little one in the stroller. But it's this idea of you are getting out. And I know that helps me as a mom when the day feels long and you do have toddlers that are exhausting.
Yeah.
And they're on all day and you're saving their life all day. And,
yeah,
you know,
much.
There's no break. Yeah. Like, it's nice. It helps to break up because I know I can start to feel like the walls are caving in more if I am home all day with that age.
Well, another thing you can do is just plan to get out in your backyard, even if you don't feel like, you know, you get everybody in the car and go and, you know, just that whole thing can be whatever. You still do the thing where you have the block and you have the breakfast and you do the cleanup. And then, but you have, okay, now at 10 o'clock, we're outside. And, you know, you can even bring a book outside. I did this a lot with my kids while they played. They don't need me every second, obviously, when they're that age, when they're outside. You give them certain little things to play with. We had a water table. It was $20. I mean, it's cheap, you know, anything with water, you know, outside. But I think that's a really good point to get the little kids outside. And again, you don't have to be their playmate necessarily. And it is kind of nice to have a friend over. And I don't know what age you think that really starts because your younger kids have their older siblings. And we had some siblings in our house. And it does help when you have siblings. But to have a play date from 10 to 12, you know, a couple days a week, to have a little friend over, that just gets them outside. It gets them playing with someone else and just, even the sandbox play where they're just side by side, that's still good for their development.
Yes.
Right.
And I mean, water, freezing things. I've learned that things in the freezer and bringing in, you can freeze toys in water buckets.
Right.
And then they just mess around with that.
Yeah.
The wonders of water, ice.
Yeah.
Sand, digging in my yard. Like I said, the kids were doing yesterday in an area where we let them do their thing.
Sure.
Those are some of our favorite things, is just figuring out ways to be outside.
Yeah, to be outside.
And early is better in the summer if you're somewhere where it starts to get hot. So it is like that, you know, chunk of time. And then it's thinking of, okay, well, then we'll do something for lunch. And then I think it helps in the afternoon. You know, you can plan. If you have little ones that still take a nap, then that's a natural maybe downtime for everybody in your home, even older kids. You know, when you have the littles plus some older kids, or if you just have littles, then maybe you get a quiet moment while your younger ones take a nap.
Yeah.
And
so what do you do in the afternoon? Because that's the next biggest question is, okay, I think I got the mornings figured out. Everybody's fresh. We have things to do. Everything's new. You just woke up. You know, life is new again. And it's exciting. And then you sort of start to wear down because maybe you were outside and now you're hot, a little bit of sunburn. You come in and you have lunch and everybody's whiny and they just want to get the remote and wind down to TV show. Like, this is, I think, where a lot of parents cave.
Right.
And this is where my rule of no screens when the sun was out, that was just a rule that we set early. And I was like, well, is the sun out? Let me look, you know? And that was just a rule. Like, they just didn't even ask after a while. But I know not everybody thinks to do that. So what do you do during that time of the afternoon? You know, at the beach, when we're at the beach, we always say from 2 to 4, everybody's taking a nap. I don't care what you're doing, you know?
Some rest time.
Yeah, rest time.
And I think we have the joy of having a lot of neighbors around. So some of my older kids, you know, after school, but in the summer, it's that time, mm-hmm. like you said, I mean, they may still be figuring out things to do with friends, and we kind of give them the freedom and they roam. But if they're not, I think the nice part is because I haven't gotten them to have that mindset of when I'm bored, I get on a screen.
Okay.
You know, or you reverse from that, because you always can, like you said, it's like, let's start summer with no screens. Even if your kids have been allowed to have them,
right?
They figure out what to do. I mean, I have one or two that like to read. And so any downtime they have, when they know they need a break or they're just tired from being outside, they grab a book.
Mm-hmm.
But I have other kids that are not that way, but they figure it out. They pull out a game. They play a board game. They've got little sports games inside. I've got one that can't sit still. So even inside, it's always figuring out a way to kick a soft ball against the wall, you know, in a room.
Or we have ping pong balls still all over our house because those are wonderful.
Yes. Some of them just don't sit as still, but they still can be inside and they figure it out. They, like I said, they play games. We have some mini hoops in different places in the house. So if it's not me saying everyone needs, I need an hour of quiet, so nothing loud, which I do at times.
Right.
But if it's just being inside and a break from the sun, they do. They figure things out. They make games on their mini hoops where they're still being active because they're boys and they move their bodies a lot and they need to.
Yeah.
But they also play board games. All my kids have enjoyed, and I think it's because they don't have the screens to go to. They all enjoy some kind of arts and crafts. So we have lots of supplies in a room and they often will draw and create things. And some of the older ones are always drawing sports things,
making
schedules for their game the next day. They make everybody's player cards for the neighbors. They have all their stats they keep track of.
Yeah.
You know, so they take my tween, it's, you know, he still will take time to draw.
Sure.
It's usually something for their backyard league.
Right.
So, but because that's the thing is because they don't have the screen they go to, there are so many other things, and that's, they figure it out. They find other things to do.
They become innovative.
They've never had the option, or I've never used that as a boredom fix, and therefore they.
So when you became screen strong, did you do that out of a crisis, or was it just something that you just morphed into? You know, some people like us, you know, we had a crisis and we finally figured it out with the younger kids, but with, I mean, you have five, so did you always just kind of know you weren't going to give in to the video games and smartphones, or
yes.
What is your plan?
That's a great question. And because I know we do, I see a lot of people and I talk to a lot of friends that say, you know, I have a toddler and I have a baby, and I was there. I mean, I still have a toddler forever. I feel like I'm perpetually there.
Yeah.
But I had three that were three and under, my first three. So those of you that have all little ones and are very close together, I get it. I was there. I think for me, I think I always saw the desire. It was not because it was not out of a crisis. It's just more, what do I want for my kids?
Right.
I want them to experience the fullness of life. I want them to experience people.
Mm-hmm.
We have never had actual family close to us with our children around, which I think also just an encouragement to those of you out there, because I know sometimes that can feel like you are very isolated. You don't have family to help. And we've been there. I've raised all my kids without actual biological family close.
Right.
So we have not had that. But I think just I wanted our kids to see us with our friends, people in our home, interacting with my friends' kids. You know, we created things, even with our littles, we started traditions. It was crazy. It's messy. It's not pretty, but we took them along with us in things we did. We invited others into our home and our kids. I wanted them to experience the connectedness with people from day one, and also just the world, the way it was created. I just have always loved, and I just feel like that is where I want them to be formed, and just the, you know, to see the world as it is with all the things outside, the creation, animals, and that you see it in kids. I mean, they naturally just have this curiosity. They have this,
they have a love for
nature. Have a love for animals or just seeing outside, and they're so blown away by the littlest things, right? It's so good for us. It's always a good perspective. Yeah. So I just, for me, it was not a crisis. So it is, it just was this idea of, I want my kids to enjoy this and develop relational skills and the love of just play.
Yeah. True play.
True play.
Yeah.
And that is what's important. And what do I want to impact my kids? You know, ultimately we get to choose that, especially when they're younger. What do I want my kids to be formed by?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that really just, I just saw, I want them to experience the connectedness with people.
Yeah.
And just the freedom and also the beauty of just the world as it is and just play outside.
Yeah. So what is your plan when your 12-year-old, almost 12-year-old, starts kind of wanting a phone? Have you already had these conversations with him? And what, and I mean, obviously he doesn't play video games. I'm assuming he has friends. You know, a lot of people say, well, my child won't have any friends if they don't play video games. So talk about video games for a second. And is he drawn to that, or does he ask you about that? And then what are your plans for social media and phones?
That's a great question. Yes, we have had many conversations because as we have seen, and a lot of you are living, you know, the age is getting younger and younger. So even though I have three kids in elementary school and one that's headed to middle school now in our ages and school district, the way it is, we have friends with phones. We have had that happen at our home. We have had to set the precedence of just no, you know, we are a screen-free yard. We have, if they come on the porch, we try to start this idea of a basket that we would pull the phones into. So we are living that. My child knows it. I would say the thing, and I know you've talked about this before, Melanie, is I think ultimately, from the way our kids are experiencing life, and because we haven't used screens as this wonderful thing to be like, yes, let's use this screen and have it every day, it doesn't have this pull.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't, my son has not asked me for anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if he did, that'd be fine too. We have had many conversations about it, but I think the reality is he has seen and is experiencing life in the way that I would desire for my son that's 11 to be experiencing life.
Right.
We have a full backyard of children at our house every day.
Yeah.
We are the house where our kids are not going to have a phone, and they don't. And many of their friends do.
Right.
And that is what I love though. I mean, they play and our yard offers that and they all come to our house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think my child has, he's had no lack of friends. He hasn't really asked because I think he is enjoying being a kid like he should have been right. without that pull.
Right.
But we've had the conversations because it has come up. Like I said, we have friends come over that have phones. So we've had to navigate that and mm-hmm. work with them. We have had messages even in our school. So I'm in it with you all out there that are dealing with this. I'm in it because our elementary school had to send out a message to all the upper elementary school parents just in the last month because there had been some inappropriate texts that were being shared between kids that were at our school. Mm-hmm. So this is happening in elementary schools and it's mm-hmm. real and it's in, you know, it's happening. And we've had conversations about that. We've talked about the phones and the social media and, you know, he's learning about it, but honestly, he does not feel like he's missing out.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I love so much about Screen Strong and just what I've always felt before it was Screen Strong, just mm-hmm. that my kids, like there is so much this world, like the screens, like you were talking about with the dopamine earlier, like it's pulling them from what life is.
Yeah. Their true joy.
And I just, you know, I think he is developing so many personal skills. And my son just was, you know, we have our parenting issues. So I am not boasting. We have lots of, you know, every family at home.
Sure.
But at school, he is so helpful and beloved by the teachers. And he has been friends with so many students. Mm-hmm. And they talk so much about how he interacts with everyone.
Yeah.
And I just think, sadly, some of that is because there are so many kids that are already in the world of screens and that are, again, we got messages. So I know it. And
yeah,
we have friends.
You know
and
what's happening.
There are kids on it. And there's been some other issues at the school this year for young boys. And it was back to screens. And this is elementary school. So I do think that there is a difference. And if you talk to teachers, they see it. And I've had teachers tell me that. And again, it's nothing. It's not because we're amazing. It's not because I'm super mom, but it's just the reality of what some of these screen issues and the amount of time and the things kids are seeing, it is affecting elementary school kids. And it is changing the way that they're acting in class. It's changing their relationships with each other. So we're in the middle of it. And I just think I think he knows, so he doesn't ask, but I also don't think he feels like he's missing out.
Right.
And the thing I will say that's another encouragement is they figure things out. I know there are ways and we share a lot about those. Like there's ways to communicate. And if you feel like you need something, but I will say my son has had nothing. We've had not even a watch. And they also are resourceful.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful that we do live in a neighborhood where I know a lot of people, but my son walks to school, walks home. I don't have a monitor on him the whole time.
Yeah.
He rides his bike to baseball. He rides his bike to the pool. There have been times where he needed to get in touch with us. He asked someone for a phone. He knows my phone number. He figures it out. He walks home, you know, so there are ways. I think sometimes it feels like we have to track our kids every moment. This is how everyone does it. And they're very resourceful and they figure out these life skills of how do I handle this?
Yeah.
I don't have my mom. I can't call her. So I have to figure out what to do. And we've already had those moments where he's had to figure out what to do.
Oh, we had them too. And they had to go call, you know, home from the school office, or they found a coach that had a phone or something like that. And we did not get our boys Gap phone, even a talk text phone, until they were 15. And I just don't see any need for it. And when you eventually end up even getting that voice, you know, phone where it's just voice and text, then you're taking away a piece that you really can't get back. And that's why I wanted to push it out as far as I could, even for that basic phone, because I didn't want them to depend on that. And what you're doing right now is increasing his confidence and his own ability to do life. And, you know, the other thing that I keep wanting to say over and over and over, and for everybody listening, remember this, please go put this on your refrigerator or something. Screens are not making our kids happy. they're addicted and they're drawn and they're pulled and it looks like they're happy, but that's fake. They are not happy. They're happy when they have a lot of friends. They're happy when they're in the backyard playing. They're happy when they can figure out those little rites of passages, you know, when, oh no, can't, practice got canceled. Now what do? I don't have a phone. I'm going to have to figure out how to get in touch, you know, with my mom. These are all the things that they want, and that makes them feel so much better about themselves. So mom and dad, if you're out there this summer, just remember that screen time doesn't make our kids happy. I mean, watching a family movie, if you're all together, you have their friends over and you can laugh and talk about the movie, that's a little different. But in general, video games and what we call toxic screens are video games and social media and pornography. None of those things really make any of us really happy. We feel like we have to do it, and it is sort of a drive. And when we're older, we have a job, and we have, that's part of our job. But when you're a kid, you need to learn, you need to teach your kids how to find joy in real life. And so as we start to wrap up, that this has gone by so fast. I so enjoy having you on here. And just some of the notes that I've been taking, just some of the tips are, you know, those first few weeks of summer, especially get rid of those screens just for the first few weeks. And then bring them in as a family movie night, some kind of co-viewing. But be careful, because once you do that, that will become the default, right? And that will be what everything's measured against. And that's what the problem is when your kids are really little. They really hound you, you know, yes, for that little, if you tell them we're going to have 30 minutes and they talk about it all day, and then that's all they're thinking about is the time when they can sit down and do. So you want to kind of erase that in the very beginning. You said not to freak out over that adjustment. I don't know if you said freak out, but that's kind of the way I took it. Like, the adjustment period is going to be there. It's going to be a little awkward. It's going to be a little hard. They're going to have to feel bored. In order for them to be innovative, they have to feel bored. The parent, you cannot force innovation. And when I'm talking about innovation, I'm talking about dreaming up things to do with play time. So you're not going to freak out over that. You're going to have a plan, but it's going to be more in blocks. I like that idea of this time of day we do this, this time of day we do this. As they get a little bit older, like one of my boys, and he wrote his hour-to-hour schedule. I think that's a great idea when you have a 10-year-old. Let them do that. So we're going to let them be bored so they can then figure out what to do. The 30-day detox we have is fabulous to start off the summer with, by the way. It is free now on our site. You can go on our website, get in the Connect group, and you can have access. It's a wonderful instruction guide over how to do a 30-day detox in your home. And what that means is how to prep for it, how to bring things in, how to make it work. And we are just huge believers in the practical application and practical tips. And you've really offered a lot today, even with playing outside in the water. I remember when my boys were in third grade, one mom challenged me and said, you know, can you blog and post something every day about what your kids are doing outside? And I did. And so hopefully I'll be able to get that over. It's called 30 Minutes Outside. And it's a series that we had a while back. I'll see if we can pull that back up, because it is every day. I literally took a picture of what they were doing outside. And it was fascinating, because it was fascinating for me. I'm like, look at all the stuff that they're doing, you know, from washing the dog to having a picnic, you know, all the things that they came up with to do outside. So look out for that. We can possibly put that in our Connect group as well. You talked a lot about nature as a playground. I love nature solves so many issues, so many medical issues, so many psychological issues. And if you can get your kids outside, they will love it. Even when they're three, getting them outside, even if you don't, your car's in the shop and you can't go anywhere, just go out in the backyard, take a walk, go on an exploring, you know, adventure and find things. Go on a nature scavenger hunt. There's so many things that your kids can do with nature. The other thing that you talked about was inviting others in. So let's end on that note. Tell me, how does that work? And then we're going to have to wrap up. But in our home, too, has always been very, very exciting for me, because my oldest, it wasn't like this. We were not the home that any kid wanted to come to, because Adam was crunched up in a corner, you know, in a dark basement. So that wasn't fun. You know, remember, the theme today is video games and social media is not fun for kids. It's not fun. It's a drug. It's an addiction. It's not fun. It's not real joy. So because of that, our house, we did not have kids over here. And I look back and I don't blame them. I wouldn't have wanted to come over to our house either. And so then when our younger kids came along, we decided to go screen strong. which means that we have no video games and we have no smartphones for our kids. Even now they graduated from high school, they still don't have a smartphone. I don't even know, you know, if they'll get one in college. I mean, it's up to them, but I'm not even sure how that's even going to work out, because they were fine doing life just fine without it. And they love not being pulled in. And they quite frankly love that I'm not tracking them. So there's benefits, right?
Yes.
But talk about bringing kids into your house. I have experienced that firsthand with when you don't depend on screens, you create these other things that happen socially. We have so many parties over here, so many tradition type parties, certain types of the year that we have kids over, but they're over here all the time. Like literally, if my kids weren't working at night, they would have kids over here every night.
Every night.
And every day.
Yes.
So talk about that at your ages.
Yes. And, you know, part of what happens when you have, if you have some that start to get a little bit older and then you still have the young ones, is that they are in the fold. You know, my 5-year-old is probably going to be our best baseball player because he's playing with
middle schoolers.
He is playing with middle school kids. Yeah. And that's just what happens when you have siblings. But yeah, I just think it is messier and.
Yeah. And you'd have a lot of food, I've noticed,
yes.
Whenever I have all these kids over. They're all hungry.
Popsicles
work.
Yes, popsicles are great.
Yeah.
It is messier, but I just think it's so fun. Like I said, one of the things I think from early on, before I was even, you know, knew of Screen Strong, it just was natural to me that I want my kids to be, you know, have real friends and know how to be with adults. And so we just, our yard, we joke, I mean, we really don't have grass in many chunks of our backyard. It is truly sandlot.
Sandlot.
And there are moments, and my husband and I have to remind each other a lot, like it gets messy or we're picking up trash. But we have to ultimately say, but what are we valuing the most?
Yeah.
I am so thankful that my kids are out back and we let all the kids come over. And sometimes we joke, we'll drive up and kids will already be in our backyard. And we kind of laugh because I think some of them think it's a neighborhood park.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there are moments like real life, right? Where you're kind of like, what is happening? What is going on?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we both, you know, one of us will sometimes have to remind the other one, you know, this is what we want. And this is what we want our kids to be doing. And they create things. We had a football league that they were running when they're in football season. And we made shirts for them all as a surprise gift for Christmas.
Yeah.
And
now
they're into baseball. So they have built, I mean, it is so hideous, but they took all the scraps from around my husband's projects and wood and tree branches. And they have created a dugout.
Yeah,
I mean, the kids, you would think they were like Wrigley Field, okay?
Yeah.
But it is like a dirt-patched wood piece together backyard. They've named it. It's Five Guys Field.
Yeah.
They invite everyone over. They tell everyone we have a real baseball field. So I just love the imagination. And this affects my kids that are all the way. We have tweens. We have 13-year-olds that come play all the way down to my toddlers. We'll join in, you know? So,
yeah.
But it does, you know, speaking as a mom, it's not, I'm not super mom. I don't provide all the things. We don't put fancy drinks out, but we've just let our kids play and we make it about play and we've let them take over the backyard.
Yeah.
And I think with that, the other part, I know we've talked a lot about and a lot of Screen Strong things talk about, it's just how they have to learn how to problem solve and do all this, but they're doing it in person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are boys. We've had some heated moments in our backyard. We have parenting moments that happen. You know, there's days where nothing happens. And then there's a day where somebody kicks somebody, you know?
Yeah.
But again, they're working it out and they're doing it in person. And there's nowhere else I'd rather them be doing that. They're navigating relationships.
Right. In your backyard.
In the backyard.
And just so people don't freak out, if you're listening, mom, this doesn't mean the kids have to literally be in your house all summer. And so that would have freaked me out. So I don't want the whole neighborhood in my den, right? And I hear exactly what you're saying, because at our house, they had to all drink out of the hose. We didn't even offer.
Oh, we used the hose. We used the hose.
That was like, you're thirsty. Here's the hose. And it's not like we allow them all to come in and lounge all over our house. Now, as they got older and they started doing more things, they would organize pizza parties and all that, and they would make things and have backyard movie nights and all that kind of stuff that they would do. I love that you said that they even named their group. My boys did the same thing. Our neighborhood group, there's 7 boys that hang out and play together all through the years. And they named their group as well. And they have t-shirts and the whole 9 yards. It's really funny. And I think that's a real bonding thing. I think in general, the takeaway today is the time exchange. What are you willing to exchange the childhood for, the time for? And I will say that in the 10 years I've been in this space and talking to parents and working with this issue, I will say 100% that I have never had a parent tell me, Melanie, I wish if I could go back, I would give my kid more screen time, ever. That has never happened. And I promise you for this summer, for these few months that you have with your kids, that you will not at the end of August or in September look back and say, dang it, I wish we had done more video games or phones or movies or social media, whatever. You will not look back and want more of that. So our encouragement to everyone today is to start with that end in mind. Start with your goal in mind. And what final nugget of encouragement, as I put you on the spot, as I always put my guest on the spot, can you offer to the mom who started listening today? She's probably still in her bathrobe. She's trying to figure out how to function. It can be so hard. I remember those days so well. What kind of encouragement can you offer her for when she's got little kids at home and she's really exhausted? I mean, she does need a screen strong community for sure.
Yes.
Right?
So I'm like, I know, I'm like, reach out. It is possible. I just think now there's this culture that makes it seem like screens are the only way to get by.
Right.
And I just want moms to realize that's not it. And like I said, I've been there. I have 3 and under, and you know, we watch some PBS. Like, it's not, you know, my kids saw some shows, but they didn't ever have screens as their go-to when they were melting down or whatever, to learn that was their thing, you know, and it never was the thing. But I think it's important, moms, to make sure, you know, you are going to need breaks, and lean on your spouse or your partner or, you know, your community. I mean, there are moms I know, and when I had, you know, trade off a little one, like just
yes.
You're, it's so important to take care of yourself. This isn't saying like you can do it all. No one can.
Right.
You know, find a mother's helper to come play with your 3-year-old. I mean, we had a friend down the street that was a 5th grade girl that came over and played with my little ones when we had something going on for one of my other kids last week. You know, they're young. They don't need, their moms usually don't even want them paid, but it's like, do things like that, because it is the reality that we do need, there are days and you just need, and it's okay to need others and help, but
that's really good.
Yeah. So I think that's important, because yes, it is really hard and it is exhausting, but I think it is just to realize our little ones are so, the curiosity, the imagination, it is there. It's built within them. It's how they're created. Mm-hmm. So I think just sticker books and coloring and freezing toys in water, you know, putting ice for them to sit and look at. These things will keep your 2-year-old or 3-year-old occupied. There are so many little things, and it doesn't take so much preparation. It's not things that are exhausting. There are little things to do that your child can enjoy and sit still with for 20 minutes. And the reality is that toddlers are just, they're not made
they're
to sit
not
still
made
long.
To. So, and then when they get on a screen, it is making them miserable, and it turns them into little people you don't want to be around, because they get the meltdowns and all the things happen when you take the screen away.
Yes. My kids love, I will say, and I know so many, it's out there so much now, but any kind of sensory bin thing is so easy to pull together.
Right.
And such a good way to get, you have to nurse a baby. You have to do those things, and you know that for the next day. It's so helpful to just plan 5 minutes, pull together a water table with some fun new things in it, or pull together some of the kinetic sand, or dump beans into a big bucket with scoops. And those types of things are so good for their tactile, everything, learning, just
And you don't keep those things out all the time. That's the key.
You
only pull them out during that moment when you're about to lose your mind, right?
Yes.
You pull the thing out that hadn't been pulled out in 3 days, and all of a sudden it's new and novel,
yes,
and it's wonderful to them again.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I think is, it can be simple. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like just rotate some of the toys or the special things or the special arts and crafts or the Play-Doh at my house. It's put up high so it can't just be an everyday
mess. Thing.
Because no mom wants that.
Right.
But
when
you pull it out, it's fun and novel when I pull it out again for my toddler.
That's right. That's right.
So I think just, yes, like find the help you need and make sure, trade with moms, get the help you need. But also there are ways, and our children are made to be able to enjoy the littlest things, and they don't need a screen to occupy them. That is not.
So one thing that we did, and we got to wrap up, oh my gosh, the time, but I mean, we go for hours and hours. So what you just said reminded me, I can't believe I didn't mention this earlier, that we, through those little years you're talking about, all the way through middle school, we did backyard art camps. And I know nothing about art, just like I know nothing about music. And my kids are so musical and they are so artistic because we put those things in their life, figured that out early on. But we did backyard art camps. And I encourage you to talk to maybe two or three of your mom friends out there, and everybody take a week. And then you literally plan art outside. We always did it outside. And they did tie-dye t-shirts. They decorated tin cans. They made pencil holders. They did all. I just went on Pinterest probably, or actually what I did is we had an art teacher from a third grade art teacher from school that was retired. And she just gave me all these ideas. That's where I ended up getting all the ideas. But if you want to do that, then you have 1 week at your house, 1 week at your friend's house, another week at a friend's house, and then you kind of rotate back. That's a fabulous way to do that, especially if you're working some of the summer and you need that kind of help. I would say to be careful to kind of do the time exchange thing with only screen strong friends. Otherwise, they're going to end up getting addicted to Fortnite while they're over at somebody else's house. And that's something that we really kept from happening. So I ended up having these art camps every summer. It's not rocket science. You don't have to be an artist. And then we always had a slip and slide out, and everybody brought their lunch. So they brought their lunch. It started like at 9:30, and I kept them all the way till like 2:30. So that was a big, big chunk of our day. And they were just exhausted afterwards, which was the whole point, to get everybody exhausted. And it was sort of hard. And I know I've heard you say before to choose to do hard things, and you want to choose to do things that your kids can learn. They planned that. They had a lot to do with planning that. That developed a lot. And they got on the phone and called their friends. And we had like 12 boys over here every summer at this art camp thing. And it sounds kind of confusing, but it was not that confusing. And then I want to end up just with this final statement that mom and dad, your screens are not making you happy either. Right. And Amy, I'm sure that you feel kind of sluggish if you sit down and get on your social media and scroll. And I mean, if you're doing work, it's very different. If you're just like, you know, not wasting time, but if you're wasting time, you know, and you get up, you're not in a good place either.
Exactly.
And it kind of makes you feel icky. Like, gosh, we should have pickled some green beans instead, you know,
yes.
Which by the way, pickling our kids, we learned to do that. That was really a fun thing. And when parents always, you know, say, well, how come your kids don't hate you? Right. Cause you don't allow screens. Isn't it weird when people say that? Because I mean, I'm not trying to, again, like you, we're trying to be very humble about this, but our kids don't hate us. They have so much fun. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a backyard art camp, and who wouldn't want to have a dugout in your backyard and do sandlot? I mean, that's like a dream come true. So that myth out there about your kids hating you if you don't give them the thing that makes them feel bad. No, it's a myth.
Like you said, if we feel that way, we have fully developed brains.
Right, right. But it's
just think of how our kids feel, because we all do. The reality is, you know, spend time where we end up scrolling or we're on our phones and we're just like doing that.
Right.
And we don't feel great.
No.
We compare with each other.
That's
we do
right.
these things. And can you imagine how that feels if we were experiencing that as a teenager or a tween, as a, you know, not having a fully developed brain?
Yeah. Yeah. And so I want to encourage, my encouragement is for moms to, you know, give themselves a break from trying to keep up with everybody's vacations and all the stuff that your neighbors and friends are doing. Get a couple good books. Go to our website. Look at our book list. We have some wonderful books. You can start off with Breaking the Trance. That's a wonderful, easy read book for the summer. Go outside with your kids while they're on the slip and slide and, you know, enjoy a good book out there and put your phone down. It will make you feel better. It's going to make your kids feel better. You're just going to have a summer you can look back on and say, you know, we really enjoyed each other. And, you know, go do some camping in the backyard. Even if you can't go on a big trip, you can camp in the backyard.
Yes.
In fact, I love that camping in the backyard because I can still use the bathroom in the house.
Yes, exactly.
But the kids love it. When they were little, we were camping in the backyard with dad. That was such a big thing. So we have a ton of ideas. I am going to try to put that 30-minute outside thing up on our site really, really soon. Amy, thank you. Thank you so much for taking the time today to help us get closer to our goal of being screen strong.
Thanks. I know. I feel like there's so much more.
I know there is, right? Okay. But thanks. Thanks so much. And we'll have you back for sure. We want to hear about this journey with these five boys and how you're going to manage it and be successful. So thank you for coming.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And thank you all for listening today. If you have any questions for us, for Amy, or for me, please email us at team@screenstrong.com. And we will get those questions over to her. Our website is screenstrong.org. So jump on there and sign up to our Connect group. And we also have a Connect Plus group, which has a subscription to it. In that group, there's a lot more content. There's some movies and videos and workshops and all in there. So what is your homework? To share this podcast with your spouse and your friends. And maybe for that mom friend that you're thinking about doing an art camp with, you know, share this podcast, subscribe on our site, and keep a lookout for our kids course. It is coming at the end of the summer. In the meantime, you can get our Screen Strong Lifestyle course and you will have a jump start. You will be able to get all of the science. You'll be able to understand why the Screen Strong Lifestyle is so healthy and so fun. Remember, we've got your back and we are here to help you figure it all out and have a great summer. So until next time, stand up for your kids, stand out from the crowd, and stay strong.